Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Join now, guys, by Damaris Smith, NFLPA Executive Director. Of course, we wanted you on today, Damaris, because of what happened with Tua Tagovailoa. Just to contextualize for people, last week, and not even a week ago, he clearly had a neurological event. Everyone said, he said it was the back. They said it was the back. Maybe his back was hurt, but his knees buckled. Watching boxing my whole life, Key played in the NFL. Jay's had concussions. Shaquille O'Neal, right, banging around in the NBA, and just from living on the earth, you know what that looks like when a guy gets his bell rung. Clearly, that happened to Tua. They said, no, it's okay, and he comes back and plays, and everyone's worried about it, and sure enough, he's sacked. The back of his head bounces off the turf. His hands immediately get rigid. Clearly, another neurological event took place. NFLPA Director Damaris, Executive Director Damaris Smith, what was your reaction to seeing what happened to Tua?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
My reaction was, frankly, sadness. We advocated for these protocol changes and made them a part of the collective bargaining agreement back in 2011, and we've modified it several times since then. But, we put those things in because of a lot of the things that you've said. We know our players want to play, but the one thing I wanted to codify in our collective bargaining agreement was an insistence that they be treated as patients first, players second. And I'm not going to get into any of the specifics of his medical case because the investigation is ongoing. We certainly our hearts and certainly our prayers are for him. And we always stay on top of what's happening with our members with respect to the medical treatment that they're given. But to answer your question, I felt like the last week has set us back in the overall culture that both the NFL and the NFLPA wanted to build to change that focus from myopically, what does the player want, to what does the patient need?
So, D, as I look at this serious situation, and I can't help but to look at the Miami Dolphins as an organization, meaning from the top down to the sidelines and the coaches, going back to last week against the Buffalo Bills and seeing Tua stumble around. And I know as an ex-player and people out there know that something wasn't right, that he probably shouldn't have gone back into that game. How do you approach that and you look at that from an NFLPA standpoint?
The first thing we look at is whether the protocols were followed. And Keyshawn, I'm not telling you anything that you don't know. There isn't a player probably from, grade school up that doesn't want to stay in the game. We wrote the protocols in a way to address that. It's really not up to the player at all. We have referees on the field who can pull players to the sideline. We have protocols that are designed to immediately take the player's helmet away if we think, or if the doctors think, that a neurological event has happened. So the protocols are there, and they are clear. They are crystal clear. It has uniform ways in which everyone is supposed to act. Where we start is whether the protocols were followed. And like I said, this is an ongoing investigation. I heard something that the league has said something with respect to the protocols. I don't know how they can make a decision about whether they believe the protocols are followed since we are in the middle of an investigation. So I'm not going to comment on that. But from our standpoint, it's about the culture, and it's about changing the idea that these men are gladiators. I know that our guys love that tag, but they're not. Anybody who's a gladiator was someone who was less than a human in the Roman Forum. So I don't like that word. I like the idea that when we are talking about the health, safety, and medical conditions of our players. I want the doctors, I want everyone who's involved in providing medical care to treat NFL players in the same way that I would want my son treated by a doctor, my daughter treated like a doctor, and our friends treated like a doctor. And anything less than that perpetuates a level of indifference that is completely unacceptable.
Mara Smith, Executive Director, NFLPA, joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max D. You and I talk all the time about these type of things. And when, as a former player, not in the NFL, but in the NBA, and I've heard former players in the NFL talk this way, being able to manipulate the system to a degree. How does the NFL handle, and Andrew Whitworth talked about this last night post-game on Amazon Prime, where he gave an example playing with the Eagles where he was able to manipulate the testing, the protocols. He knew how it worked, and he got himself back on the field because as a player, you know, everybody talks about the business of the team from a corporate perspective, but there is also the business of the player, and it kind of relates to Tua, right? A guy who's playing for that next big contract to prove that he's the guy. How does the NFL or the NFLPA handle or navigate players that try to circumvent the system?
Well, the way the protocol is set up, the initial screening that should take place if there are obvious signs of a neurological event have nothing to do with what the player can do to manipulate the system, right? I mean, we've all seen it over the last few years. A player who looks like he has suffered some sort of TBI event, what happens? The first thing that happens is somebody grabs his helmet. After that, there are both examinations by the team doctor and a neutral, unaffiliated doctor that we both pay for. There's also a spotter in the booth in order to make sure that no one misses an event. It's not only predicated on what a player does in response to a medical event, but, you know, again, to me, I think that we have made tremendous strides over the last few years. Things that, I mean, look, all of us have seen players helping players off the field. We've seen players taking another player's helmet. By the way, we've seen the majority of team doctors and unaffiliated doctors do a great job taking a person off the field and applying the protocols. So this isn't a question of whether the protocols work or not. Every box can be checked. Every protocol can be enacted. What concerns me and what we will be looking at is whether the doctors in this case treated this young man like a patient.
So,
concerns me is any indication that they did not.
So, Damara Smith, executive NFLPA executive director, I have a question for you that I think probably some fans are wondering as they're listening to you. You know, I've covered boxing for years. That's a sport where a guy has a neurological event. You get a standing eight count, you got, you know, and you fight on, right? You know, and it could happen again, and he concusses the other guy, and the other guy comes. A great fight means both guys are frequently fighting round after round with concussion. Not that boxing should be the model for safety for the NFL, right? But I do think there's something there in a full contact tackle football situation at the highest levels in the world. What would you say to a fan who might be thinking they're playing tackle football? Guys are going to get their bell rung. Of course, they're going to try to hide it. Of course, the team is incentivized to put their guy out on the field because they want to win. What would you say to someone who says this is the nature of the beast? You know, if you overregulate tackle football, like eventually you wind up, you know, like would you say treat them as a patient first? If you're treated as a patient first, you ain't playing tackle football, right? That's mistake number one. What would you say to a fan who's wondering how you reconcile those two ideas? Tackle football on the highest level with giants at lightning speed on the one hand, you know, safety from neurological events on the other.
Yeah, I would probably say to every fan, stop thinking like a child. right? I mean, if you are working at a construction plant and a piece of heavy equipment falls and hits you in the head, what fan says that that woman or that man needs to go back on the construction field, right? Mm-hmm. If you're working in a mine and you fall down the mine shaft, yeah, that's a dangerous job. But what person, what sane person would say that that person nonetheless has to go back in without the proper medical care?
That's right, and this is the job of unions, right? But once upon a time, everything you described was a fact in the workplace, and then with the advent of unions and the rise of unions, worker safety got much better.
Right. Worker safety got much better because unions have done a great job of holding companies accountable, and this is the thing I want to focus on, the duty that they have to treat their injured employees as patients, whether the unions are there or not. And we've had this battle with the National Football League in the past where they actually took the position that they were not subject to OSHA. And thankfully, the Department of Labor wrote an opinion reminding them that they were subject to OSHA. Every employer in the country has a duty to provide a safe workplace or as safe a workplace as possible. But when an injury occurs, they have a duty to treat that injured employee as a patient. So what I would say to fans, and look, I get it, you love your football. The idea that we can that tackle football and playing with concussions has to go hand in hand is simply a lie. We've seen this game do tremendously well economically. We've seen this game do tremendously well with a fan following since we put in strict protocols in 2011. So the idea that somehow these two things have to go hand in hand is simply not true.
Diaz, the NFLPA executive director, what will you be doing to make sure that Tua isn't trotted out there too soon in the next week, week and a half, or whatever it may be, to become a pinata again?
Yeah. And again, Keyshawn, thanks. I mean, I appreciate the question. And you know, we've been around this long enough where you know I don't talk about an individual player's health situation. But
or players, for that matter. I'm sorry, players that fall in this situation.
Right. So you know, our job with respect to a case where we are questioning whether the protocols were followed starts with an investigation and a interview of the team doctors. We follow what's happening with the treatment protocol to ensure that at least the player knows that he's getting the best medical care. If it means us providing free second opinion, third opinions, doctors that he or she wants to look or talk to, we do that. And then going forward, it's a review of exactly what happened under the circumstances. And again, in a game situation, we built this to be a multi-layered matrix of people who can protect the player. Everybody from the referees to the both team doctors to the neutrals to the spotter to everyone else, we want to know what happened. And then after that, any player who is in this situation has to be cleared not only by the team doctor, but a neutral, unaffiliated doctor that we both pay for.
Mm-hmm. That's Damaris Smith, NFL PA Executive Director. Thanks so much this morning for taking time out to talk to us about what's going on. It's you know, important, and we appreciate you taking the time.
Appreciate
Thanks
you,
a
dude.
Lot. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
All right, guys. He said a lot. I thought.
Wow.
I thought Damaris Smith, that's the NFLPA executive director, responded beautifully to, like, really laid it out for people to my question. Because I'm sure a lot of fans are thinking, like, look, you're playing tackle football, you're going to get your bell rung. And what he pointed out was that in any workplace, this is not the 19th century. We're in the 21st century, right? It's you're entitled to certain protections on the job, even if the job is dangerous. I guess what I would follow up with Key here for you is like the point in boxing is to hurt the other guy.
Yeah.
That's not quite, it's not, football's not exactly a combat sport, but I can't say that the violence is incidental. If I'm playing football, I want to wear you out. I want to bring the quarterback down with some extra force.
There's different ways of wearing you out in football, just like there's different ways of wearing you out in boxing. You obviously in boxing, as you know, Max, you want a one-hit punch. You want it to be over as quick as possible because you don't want to go the necessary rounds.
You don't have to.
If you don't have to.
If you can concuss the other guy.
You know, football is four quarters.
But what about that? The fact is, part you can't say, while everyone's entitled to a safe workplace, part of the point of tackle football is the violence, right?
Yeah.
That's part of the winning the war of attrition, dealing with injury.
I'm sure if there was a way that the National Football League and the NFLPA and ourselves as players could make gazillions of dollars playing flag football, touch football.
You do that.
We'd have done that.
Yep.
I mean, right? I mean, there's no, it's, there's nothing you could do. You can't separate, I don't want to say the violence from football. You can't separate it. It's going to be there.
It's part of the, it's intrinsically part of the sport.
We know certain things are going to happen. But what you can separate is somebody going back out there.
Thank you.
That's already injured, that you are putting out there for whatever reasons. Everybody seems to think, or not everybody, but people a lot of the times thinks that coaches are putting players out there just to win. They don't care, those sort of things. I've had both experiences. I've had an experience where the coach frowned upon me because I was hurt and couldn't get out there. And I've had an experience where the coach is like, no, you're not going back out there. So I've had it both ways.
Well, that's why I look forward to the NFLPA's investigation, because during one of the questions, I leaned over and I asked Key, I said, how many representatives from the actual NFL are there during these games? Because at the end of the day, as a league, as an umbrella organization, I can't entrust one of my subsidiaries, like the Miami Dolphins, to do what's in the best interest for the player at the end of the day, because they're going to do what's in the best interest for the Miami Dolphins. And maybe sometimes, depending upon the person, it might be in the best interest of the player. But that's where it gets fascinating for me. So,
well, they have referees, Jay. They have the spotters upstairs. They have the spotters on the sideline. In fact, I think they have two spotters on the sidelines and maybe two in the booth, because if something happens to you and I'm walking you in and all of a sudden something happens to Max, I've got to now have somebody else there to be able to look after Max as well. So there's several people that are at games.
So that provides cover for the Dolphins. But that's where I go further higher up and I say, hey, because that absolves the Dolphins to a degree, why aren't there stricter rules in place?
But the Dolphins, all the Dolphins got to do is say, don't put him back in the damn game.
I hear you. But
the Dolphins are incentivized.
Incentivized to play Tua to win, right?
You need an umbrella organization that is looking out for its long-term interests.
Stricter rules that say, hey, look, we saw that is a concuss-like symptom. He's not allowed to back in the game.
Listen, one of the things—
Well, they have the independence
that's
there.
That's why I said it. Yeah. Goes back to that.
One of the
independence are doing.
That I think that DeMarre Smith pointed out that I picked up, like, you know, I talked to him about it a little bit, was the presence of unions. Guys, there are plenty of things that people don't like around, you know, about unions, and there are problems because any organization, you get power and it becomes corruptible. People talk about a teacher's union that there's a pain to deal with, or the police union is a big issue right now that pushes against reform. But by and large, the presence of unions, including that, and the NFLPA, the players have a union that can collectively bargain with the league. Before unions, workers, if you weren't the capital, if you weren't the owner, you were exploited nonstop. Working conditions were atrocious. People just accepted the fact that your life wasn't worth a lot on the job, right? Only because of the presence of unions do we now have a situation where there are certain things that are insisted upon in terms of worker safety. Football players are workers. They have a union. The league's going to have to deal with this right now. All right.
Man, it's
we can. What's that?
Just the whole conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, again, guys, because Key said it to me earlier. I sometimes think people forget. I know for me as a former player, it wasn't until I actually got drafted, until I got on the court, where I realized, damn, these dudes are massive human beings. Mm-hmm. Massive. And then when I go as a former Chicago Bulls player and I would go to Soldier Field and be down on the field, I would see some of the Bears, and I'm like, yo, these dudes are way bigger than the dudes I play with. Tua could have died.
We're going to get back now to looking ahead to an actual football game. I feel like there's a lot of natural disasters and concussions today. We will talk about sports on the field coming up. Big NFL Sunday.
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio. Everywhere you are.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, ESPN News. We're presented by Progressive Insurance and joined right now, fellas, by Matt Cassel, former NFL quarterback, of course, and he of 11
USC
wins
Trojans on mm-hmm. today
for the Patriots.
Jeez.
Good morning, Matt.
Y'all were better in football.
Good morning, fellas. How are you?
What's up, sir?
Doing good, man. How you doing?
What's up, Keith? I'm doing well, fellas. I'm doing well.
Let me jump off to this real quick, Matt. So earlier in the week, I said that, you know, I don't think Mac Jones is going to play, and there's not that big of a difference this year based on the way Mac Jones has been playing if you go to Brian Hoyer and allow Mac to heal up some. Well, my compadres, they think I lost my damn mind because it's the same thing. Mac Jones is not playing great football like he was a year ago, and Brian Hoyer could do the same things that they're doing right now. Am I that far off?
I don't think you're that far off. I think when you look at the skill sets of Mac Jones and Brian Hoyer, they're very similar. So when you look at the offensive approach, it's not going to change in terms of the route concepts, the run game. Brian Hoyer's been in that system for a long time. He's familiar with it. He can run the check with me game. He's a vet. So it's not a drastic change to say that when Brian Hoyer steps on the field, it's going to look dramatically different. Now, at the same time, I don't anticipate Mac Jones playing this week. And you know how Bill Belichick and the Patriots organization kind of handle injuries, especially when they want to give the impression that, you know, Mac Jones might be able to play. They might be playing both guys, but I don't know what kind of competitive advantage it really gives anybody, because at the end of the day, they're very similar in terms of their skill set.
As a matter of fact, Key makes the point, I was with it, at this moment, not going forward, but at this moment, the way Mac Jones has played so far, maybe it's a slight upgrade to a veteran guy, a lot of experience, knows the system. Is it possible at this moment?
You know what? I mean, I think a lot of people look at the stat line and see the five interceptions in the first games and then the first three games. But when you go back and you really evaluate the tape, look, he's throwing a fade route to the end zone to Devontae Parker, and Xavier Howard, another great cornerback in our league, a great player, he tips the ball up and it gets intercepted. Those things happen. It wasn't necessarily a bad decision, a bad throw. It just was a good play made by somebody else. So then you go to the second game, he throws an interception down the middle again to Devontae Parker, but it's cover two. He beats the guy over the top. I like the decision. It just was bad ball placement, and Minkah Fitzpatrick has an opportunity to come over and make a play on the ball. And then when you get last week, look, he played a stellar first half. And even going into the third quarter, he goes right down the field to start the series. You know, he made big play after big play through a go route to Devontae Parker, back shoulder, leads the team right down. They go score. And then he has a bad interception. And those bad interceptions happen from time to time. We all make them. And then, but right after that interception, he goes right down, scores a touchdown. Then you get into the red zone. Devontae Parker doesn't get the check. He's supposed to run a corner. He's lost in translation, leaves Mac Jones out to dry. He throws the ball up, and it's an interception. Everybody goes, what are you doing, Mac Jones? Red zone, this, that, and the other. But at the end of the day, if you really look at the film, Mac Jones got better each and every week. They were progressing offensively. They had their explosive plays. They were doing those things. So a lot of people point to these things, but Mac Jones was heading in the right directions. He's got to clean up some of the turnovers, and that really has hurt them. But at the end of the day, when you really look at it, it's not as bad as what people think.
I haven't been watching all 22. I haven't been watching all 22 on the Patriots. And also, Matt, like, ball placement is part of it. I'm not saying he's getting the read, but you also got to place the ball, right?
Matt Castle, former NFL quarterback, joining the show here. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Matt,
you're absolutely correct with ball placement. Like, you gotta put the ball in the right place for sure. But like I said, out of all those interceptions, there's probably two of them that you're sitting there. The one ball placement's wrong. The other one was a really bad decision to throw.
Matt, I did want to ask you about a guy that coached you when you were in New England, and Josh McDaniels. A lot of interesting reports have came out over the last couple of days. Maybe not reports, but things about his coaching style. I'm curious, is he the right coach for the Raiders, in your opinion?
You know, I believed he was. I thought it was a good decision this offseason, and he's earned that right to go back and get another opportunity, especially with all the offseason moves that they've made, bringing in Devontae Adams. You know, you've got a great cast of skilled players out there. But at the end of the day, it comes down to the results, and especially – when you have a Raiders team last year that went through the adversities both on and off the field that they did, and then they were a team that went to the playoffs last year. And so the expectation level is to go back to the playoffs. And right now, starting off 0-3 and having their struggles, and even this week, you know, you have a players-only meeting and all those things, that's not going in the right direction. And the hardest thing for a coach to do, I think, sometimes if you are struggling early on, especially with a team that has been successful, is to get that buy-in. And it becomes a lot more difficult when you don't have success early. And right now they're struggling through that. But, I mean, my relationship with Josh, the experience that I had with him, I always thought he was a great teacher. He was a great coach. He put you in a position to be successful. He really highlighted and played to your strengths as a player. And unfortunately, they haven't been able to turn that over onto the field and create the product that they want to be able to win these games.
Yeah, you know, and I'm going to be a little pile-on guy here for a minute, Matt. When you think about it, you look at, yeah, I'm sure he was a great quarterback coach, great play caller, but those roles have changed now. He's a head coach. And since winning his first six games, now, obviously, as a head coach, you go back to Denver, he's 5-20 since winning his first six games in Denver. Now he's off to an 0-3 start as a head coach again. Is he made to be a head coach, though? I know we want to give him an opportunity, but why isn't it working? Why did he hit the ground running with a team that essentially went to the playoffs of the Rich Bisaccia a year ago?
Right, and that's the great question. Look, I'm not in that building every single day. From a leadership standpoint, I know that he says that he learned a lot through his experiences in Denver, which was ultimately ended up being a failure, and that I thought that he was going to go in and be able to turn the ship around and be able to head it in the right direction. At the end of the day, it comes down to them not executing on the field. They've struggled to convert on third downs, to take care of the football, and then score TDs in the red zone. A lot of that stuff can be fixed. Those are things that can be fixed. But until they do, you know, the struggle is going to continue because the margin for error in this league is minimal, as you well know. And he's got to get it turned around, or otherwise you take this chance of losing the team or dividing the team or splitting, you know, how they view where we're going and what direction. Because, again, the success was there last year. Now you change leadership. Why are they not having the same success?
Yeah, Matt Castle, NBC Sports Boston analyst, former USC Trojan, joining me this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and, of course, can't leave out Max. Which team right now is better situated to win the Super Bowl? You obviously played with Tom Brady up in New England, and you played for the Kansas City Chiefs. Which one of those two right now is situated to get back and win the Super Bowl?
I mean, right now, I would say if you look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, right, their defense has been outstanding. I mean, they are stingy on defense, both versus the run, versus the pass. They've given up less than 14 points in every game. Now, the issue has been the injuries on the offensive side. They're playing with their second string center, their third string tackle, their fourth, fifth string wide receivers have been out there. So if they get healthy once again and they become the explosive offense that we've been accustomed to watching over last season, then I think that they're more situated just based on the depth that they have at the wide receiver position when fully healthy, and that defensive unit is so good. In terms of the Kansas City Chiefs, you go out, you watch them early on, they just blow the doors off the Cardinals, but then they score 20 against the Chargers, they score 17 against the Colts, and they've had their own struggles of trying to recreate their explosive nature without Tyreek Hill. And I think that it's been something that's been a learning curve and a process for them because they're still trying to figure it all out and where all these pieces fit with Juju Smith-Schuster and Marquez Valdez-Scantling.
Oh, sorry, guys. I'm sorry, Matt. I was interrupted in my ear and I didn't hear you were I thought you'd stop talking. I apologize. Matt Castle.
No problem.
former NFL quarterback who won 11 games, guys. Are you aware of that? 11 games.
No, he's won more than 11.
No, in one season.
Oh,
won
one
11
season,
games
yeah.
with Bill Belichick. Formerly undisputed greatest coach of all time.
You said 11 games. Like a dude played 100 years. No. If he can't win
one in one season,
games.
Was that your high total of wins, Matt?
I played a few more games than that.
But Matt, was that your high total of wins? Like if I said Aaron Judge had 61 home runs, you know I don't mean in
one game
in his whole career. Hey, was that your high total in wins, 11? That's a lot of wins.
Yeah, we had 11 there. I had 10 in Kansas City one year.
10, all right, 11, 10.
Yeah, but that was my high. But I didn't get credit for 11 that year because 10, Brady actually started the game that I went in. When we had 0 points on the board, you know, Brady started that game, so he gets credit for it. But I went in the early in the second quarter.
And Brady probably gets a couple of credit for a couple of those Kansas City wins too. Who knows? We'll figure out how to give him some credit.
Yeah, he deserves something, right? Thanks.
That is Matt Castle, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks, Matt, as always.
Yes, let's go Trojans.
Let's go Trojans. I'll see you, boys.
All right, man. Tune in for college football action tomorrow as Arkansas hosts Alabama, presented by Dr. Pepper. Coverage begins at 3 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Right. It's time for the ESPN Radio Pick'em Challenge, guys. I'm sure we'll all agree on who we're taking.
From your radio to your smart speaker and phone.
Now playing ESPN Radio.
Or watch on ESPN2. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Live weekday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Guys, it is time to get some money. ESPN Radio Pick'em Challenge. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, of course. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, ESPN News. Guys, so this is how it works. You know what, Pat? Just come in here and explain it. You do it better than me, and then we can get going.
Well, that is why they pay me the big bucks. So we got the ESPN Radio Pick'em Challenge, guys. Three games, and basically we have to come to a consensus agreement on who we like this week, or at least the two-thirds majority.
I have promised Key I'm just going to vote with him from now on because I keep ruining everything.
Okay.
Well, but Jay, I'm 0 for whatever on my picks, and Key's like, if you listen to me, because he has the best percentage right now, if you had the best percentage, I go with you.
I'm one pick behind Key.
Yeah, and I'm a pick behind you.
That falls in line with you in general, huh?
Well, Keyshawn, J. Will, and
no,
Max.
I wasn't talking about the show. I'm talking about
shut up,
Yao Ming, you.
I got it.
I wasn't talking about the
You're Shohei Ohtani. You're having the greatest season ever, except Aaron Judge is in the same season
you
as
you. Mentioned
right?
It. Oh, I'm only one pick behind. Well, yes, you're a pick behind. Yeah, no. I'm on top.
So anyway, here it is. Bills are favored by a field goal at Baltimore. What's the story, guys?
I'm gonna take the Ravens in this one. I like the Bills to play better, but come on, man. This dude, this number eight guy, that guy, Lamar Jackson guy, bet on himself to get about $500 million of fully guaranteed money.
Jay, this has nothing to do with Key. I'll go with Lamar, period.
All right.
Secondary banged up.
You guys,
dude is lacing
you guys
up.
Duvernay
up
is balling out. Woo. Bates is doing his thing.
You're messing up our picks. Yeah. I'm just trying
Bateman,
to tell you.
Bateman. Yeah.
Just mark it down for the record that I have to go with, obviously, the consensus here between Max and Key, but Bills are going to win the game and they're going to cover.
Dobbins back in the mix.
You have family in Buffalo, right? Something like that?
I have no family in Buffalo.
But doesn't it feel like he does?
I have zero
you
family.
You got a cousin
in
something?
I have nobody in Buffalo.
I don't know. I don't think Jay has any family in Buffalo. Jay was riding the Buffalo Bills high horse because
he was making the money. Because that was bottom line.
Everybody was
last
riding
year.
The Josh Allen train and he wanted to make sure he get on the caboose.
Jay roots for whoever's making
year.
Him money.
Yes.
Last year.
All right. Yeah. Chiefs are -1. They are favored by a point at Tampa, which means the odds makers are saying Tampa's actually a better team because on a neutral site, it looks like the Bucs would be favored, but they are – wait, what did I just say?
Well, the Bucs are
– Sorry. Pardon me.
The Chiefs are favored.
The Chiefs are favored. So they're saying since Chiefs they're on the road, team. The Chiefs would be favored at a neutral site, obviously even by more at home. So reverse what I just said.
So confused.
Reverse it again. Yeah. All right. Jay, the bottom line is the Chiefs are favored on the road against Tampa. Who do you like here?
I like that Tampa Bucs defense. I think having Mike Evans is going to be a game changer back for Tom Brady. I think it gives him a weapon. I think Tampa has a lot to play for. I think it's going to be bigger than just football for them this weekend.
Much better football.
Well, the line's now even. It got moved. So people bet Tampa, so it's an even.
Yeah, it's fine. A much better football team when they're at full strength. They're not at full strength. You're playing with backup linemen. You're playing with threes and fours at the receiver position. And Kansas City's defense is playing much better at the start of the season opposed to the end of the season into playoff form. So I'm taking the Chiefs in this situation on the road against terrific Tom and company.
Man, 11,000 things had to go wrong in a row for the Chiefs to lose to the Colts. And even then, they almost won the game, right?
But they lost.
They did, but Mahomes ain't going to do that too. Mahomes is going to be fine. Travis Kelce never going to drop another touchdown pass again. Come on.
You better just hope Chris Jones doesn't get any more taunting penalties.
Well, you're not lying, but a lot of stuff.
Bogus.
It wasn't just a taunting penalty.
Yeah, what did he say?
It's still trying to find out. Still trying to find out that will give you
nothing.
How do you get a penalty for that?
That was idiotic.
Because you can't. They emphasize that. No taunting. No. It's a part of the rules.
But you know what I like, guys? Our resident Chiefs fan, James, has handled it with great aplomb. He's very even-minded and fair about it, and he says, hey, you win some, you lose some. Isn't that right, James?
It's ridiculous.
So we're taking the Chiefs in this one.
Taking the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm. Taking the Chiefs, 100%.
Jay.
Okay. The Jags at the Eagles. Jags have looked good so far this year. They're at the team that's looked best in football. right? The Jags have looked good. Jags haven't looked good?
No, they did, but just the look that the key gave you, the fact that they're in Philly.
But listen, Philly has looked like the best team in football so far. But the Jazz, that's a good game. Philly's favored by almost a touchdown, six and a hook. Six and a hook.
They are favored almost by a touchdown. And when I look at this situation, here's the return of Doug Peterson, who won the Super Bowl. Emotional thing for him. Will he get caught up in all the emotions about going back to Philadelphia, taking on a team that he took to the Super Bowl? But look, the Eagles are playing good football all the way around, three phases of the game, offense, defense, special teams. They haven't given up much in that situation. Jalen Hurts is on a straight mission right now. I'm going to take the Eagles in this game, and I understand the Jags are doing good, and Trevor Lawrence is
– You think they're going to cover?
They're gonna cover.
I think they will. I think they will cover. Trevor Lawrence, as I said before, he's a – great family guy. He goes to church.
Oh, he's tall.
Got the hair coming
rocket
out of the helmet.
Arm.
He got engaged to,
number
to
one
his girlfriend in college at the middle
shampoo,
of the field.
National champion.
Shampoo. I get it all.
Wait a minute. What about when he threw that pick after he won the national title in week one and he tackled in the open field?
He did that too. He made the open field tackle. No other quarterback has ever done that. With all that said, I'm taking the Eagles.
I wonder, will Doug Peterson get a standing ovation in Philly?
Absolutely.
I have reservations this, guys. Doesn't matter.
Were
now you both took the Eagles.
Are you going to answer my question, Max, or are you just going to get right to what your point was?
I usually like to listen to myself talk, but go ahead.
I just asked, will Doug
if
Peterson
you would call yourself Max, I would listen to everything you said.
Will Doug Peterson get a standing ovation, you think?
That's a good question, actually. Sometimes I should listen to Jay because he has good questions.
Right, absolutely.
Go ahead, listen.
Different than Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
Dude, Eagles fans were in tears when they won that Super Bowl, waiting for generations to win a Super Bowl. That's the coach.
They're still
come
in
on,
tears.
Man. Yeah, I have reservations about this. Doesn't matter. I'd be overruled, and I wouldn't vote against you anyway. But
a lot of
I think the Jags are a little better than you guys are giving them credit for right
no,
now.
No, they're good. The Eagles are just better.
Yeah, but I think the Eagles will win, but a touchdown is a lot, you know? Okay, fine. Doesn't matter. You guys both vote Eagles cover the spread anyway, right?
You want a side bet on that? You think they'll cover?
I think they will.
I think the Jags.
No, he's saying he doesn't think.
I think the Eagles have looked
cover.
Like the best team in football, but so did the Bills for a while. Like, you know, the NFL early in the season,
but
teams
the Bills
pop up and bite
road,
other teams.
The Bills went on the road and played against a divisional foe.
Yeah, and the Eagles are at home.
Yeah. Miami always gets you down there in that heat and trap you. And so don't look at that game. Don't look at that.
The hair, Key.
The hair?
The hair.
It's something about
flowing
the hair.
Hair.
It's probably a little longer now, too.
Oh, long and flowing, 6'6", not 6'3", 6'6".
Broad shoulders.
Oh, yeah.
6'6", broad shoulders, stands tall in the pocket again.
Key,
I must say this.
You would have sold your soul to have a quarterback like that in your prime.
His neck just stiffened up.
Are you guys talking about me?
No,
we're not talking about you, James.
He's got the look, you know. He's got the commercial with the kids.
How's that ball come out?
He's got the Gatorade commercial with the kids now.
The kids, oh, yeah.
How's that ball come out of his hand? Key, can you see the rotation of the ball?
Can you see it?
Once again, Max did not hear you.
Yeah, did you see the commercial? The Gatorade commercial?
Probably not.
With the kids?
Maybe, but I don't remember.
You should really dial into the Gatorade commercial and look at the kids that Trevor Lawrence is with.
By the way, it's just like Lamar's Gatorade commercial with the kids, right?
Well,
no, you didn't see Lamar's Gatorade commercial with the kids?
What's wrong
they
with
gonna,
you, Key?
Don't let him win a Super Bowl. Don't let him go to the playoffs. Oh,
the next coming of Tom Brady.
No, he won't be the next coming of Tom Brady. He'll be Tom Brady, Joe Montana, Bradshaw.
Joe Namath.
You're talking about Lamar Jackson, of course.
Mixed with a little bit of...
Is he a quarterback?
Who? Lamar? Receiver.
It's not too late to change positions, by the way. I think he's athletic enough to do it.
He can be the best running back in arena football.
If you missed the interview with Damaris Smith, catch it, 4th hour of the podcast. Keyshawn, J. Will, Max, see you Monday. Perf.
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio. Everywhere you are.